Hello, fellow saints, and welcome. We're so grateful that you're here today. Thank you for your support and standing with us in advancing the kingdom of God. If you'd like to give today, we invite you to do so, but please know there is absolutely no pressure. Your presence and prayers mean so much to us. For those who choose to give, your generosity makes a real difference, and every gift, no matter the amount, is deeply appreciated. Please know that 100% of all proceeds go directly toward our nonprofit activities and outreach. For more information about our outreach programs and community, you can visit our Instagram page. Giving is simple. You click the Make a Gift link in the navigation menu or scroll down to the bottom of this page and follow the link provided. Thank you once again for your kindness and faithfulness in sowing into the kingdom. Together we are making an impact. Thank you for tuning in.
Greater love for Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We just thank you with all that is within us, Lord God. We worship you and we give you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, what a beautiful day it has been, Lord God. Even though it's snowing out here, but we are comfortable. We are at peace. We're loving on you, God, and we're thanking you for this day. Father, I ask that as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word, Lord God. Let all the words that they hear resonate with their minds and with their hearts and even penetrate into the soul. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Use your word to divide us from the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're in Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 14. I couldn't remember if I went over this or not, but I doubt it. Excuse me. Long day, but I doubt it. So it says, and when Jesus came, was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, this is a short passage, but very significant. When Jesus saw a need, Jesus filled the need. When he saw the need, he filled the need. Now, you can't fill a need if it's not within your capacity to do. But it was definitely in Jesus' capacity to heal her, being that he just healed the centurion's servant long distance. So that was nothing. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose, and she ministered. She arose, and she ministered. Now, I have to bring this up because there is a big discrepancy between ministry, and a lot of people think that ministering is talking over the pulpit or evangelizing, and those things are the work of the ministry. Yes, they are. But what you're doing it for is to see a need, fill a need. Let me say that again. Your purpose of doing what you're doing is if you see a need, if you recognize the need, you want to fulfill or fill that need as children of God, because that's the way our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ operated. It was more about the individual than it was about the act of healing, the act of doing this, that, and the other. And as a result of that, you see the truth of reciprocity here. There's total reciprocity. When something good was done for her, she arose and she ministered unto them. So let me ask you a question. Did she get a pulpit and start preaching? No, she didn't. Did she start teaching the word of God? No, she didn't. Did she start singing in ministry? No, she didn't. All the things that we call ministry in this day and age, she did none of that. What she did is she did something quietly, strategic, very kind, very soft. But she took care of the needs that the men needed. Jesus saw a need and fulfilled her need. She got up and fulfilled his need. So in this passage, what is the importance of ministry? If you see the need, you have to fill the need. Now, as long as we've been in church, I didn't think I needed to say that. But I'm watching people think that if you teach the word, then you're ministering. And if you're doing this, you're ministering. No, no, no. If you are helping someone to do good, or you're doing good for someone, that is ministry. That is ministry. And I can show you that in another passage, if you would like to see it. Let's turn our Bibles to the 25th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to start at I'm not going to go all through it. I want to start at verse 41. Because I'll just tell you a story. Jesus was sitting on the throne and he said when he come into his glory, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. The goats are going to be on his right hand. The sheep are going to be on the left hand. And then he said, because I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and so on and so on and so on. And what happened was, they said, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger or thirsty or in prison or sick? And he said, when you did it unto one of the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me. So, that's a very important strategic point. When you do for others, when you see the need, you feel the need, you're ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ as though it was him himself on earth. That's number one. But let's read what happens when you don't do it and look at the comparison, because we're talking about the form. What is ministry? This is the core of ministry. Ministering. And he said, in 41, he says, then shall they say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He said, for I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Look at what he said. Did not minister unto thee. Just like the woman got up. She saw the needs. That could have been cooking. That could have been getting drink. That could have been doing something to make the men comfortable as they sat in Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law. That could have been anything, but it was a ministry because she saw a need, she filled a need. After she had just received from Jesus, who didn't ask her, he just did it because he saw it. These people say, when saw we thee, this, that, and the other, and did not minister unto thee. I don't want to get into the fact that these were Christians, but the devil's children don't minister. These are Christians. These are people who said they love God, who bowed their knee to him, who put on this thing as though they were a part of it, but they never did the work of the ministry. They never did the work of the ministry. See, this is how you minister. By seeing the need, feeling the need. So he said unto them, and he said, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Then he answered and said unto them, verily I said unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So when you do these things, when you see a need and you feel a need, you are the righteousness of God. When you see the need and you do not feel the need. Now listen, you cannot feel something that's not in your capacity to do. See? You cannot fulfill something that is not within your capacity to do. But if you have it and someone asks for it or somebody needs it, why would you hold it back? See? Because that's the ministry. That's the ministry. And I bet your bottom dollar that above everything else, and I shouldn't have said bet, but I believe with every fiber of my being that when we get there, God is looking and God is sending people for you to minister to, and you're not fulfilling the need. What do you think he's going to say when he comes before you on that great and faithful day? There is a need. Now listen, you can't go out your way. And you don't have to do this big elaborate thing. But as you start to see people in the community needing things, you should be able to do it. This is why we want to feed food. This is why we want to do the sick and shut in. All these things is what he just mentioned. We want to do the clothing ministry, the prison ministry, the women's and men's homes. We want to have cold weather shelter programs, so service officers, mission boards, and court linkage. And the more I try to bring this about, the more I get opposition and fighting it. We got even so-called Christian folks praying against me. Somebody recorded the tape and let me hear it. Praying against the work of the ministry. And they think they're just against me. Are they really against me? Being that God told them to do this, told me to do this. They think they're standing against me. They're not standing against me. I'm nothing. You're standing against the work of God. I wonder what you're going to tell him. You better consider it. Better consider it. So look, did not minister unto these. That was the point I came here. To show you that there are, the way of ministry is seeing a need, filling the need. It may be just a good pat on the back. Amen. It may be a hug.
Amen.
It may be, but what you're doing is tending to the needs of others more than you're tending to the needs of yourself. Sometimes it could be money. All the time it doesn't have to be money. Sometimes it can just be a sandwich. See? Sometimes it could be just a word. See? Sometimes it could just be, it could come in the form of encouragement. Sometimes it could just be sitting there being quiet and letting them talk and listening. When you get into filling the need, you find that the, man, it's endless. You can't box this thing in. It depends on who the individual is that's coming before you. And I just believe in that with every fiber of my being, it is God that is sending them to you so that you can exercise the gift of ministry. Now, it's a blessing if you could preach, teach, evangelize, do all these other things. And praise God. That is a vocational ministry.
Amen.
But everybody up under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be ministering. Okay. So let's go back. It says, so we're going into 16, different story. It says, and when the eve was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So this was pre-spoken by Isaiah. And some people's book will say Esaias, but it's supposed to be an I, Isaias. Because in the English language, we call it Isaiah. They're speaking about that. So we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. And we're going to take a look at this. What did he say? What did the Lord say? So we can get the actual text of this. 53:4. And look at what it was said. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried out our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, or afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Look at that. Just look at that. Look at what he did for us. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. See, he laid everything down for us. And so going back to the story, going back to 8, he did this. Look at what he did. He had many that were possessed with devils that came to him. He cast out spirits with his word. He healed all that were sick so that it wouldn't just be an action by word. It would be an action that men saw so that they would know and have faith beyond the shadow of a doubt that it would be spoken of throughout the eons of time that the Christ is able to forgive and to heal. See, able to forgive and to heal. Right now, I just feel a surge in me to tell you right this minute that if you're holding on to unforgiveness, if you're holding on to bitterness, If you're holding on to anything, you need to lay that at the altar. It's in the way of your ministry. It is in the way of your ministry. You need to lay it down. Lay it down. If you're holding on to something, if you're forgiving, if you're not forgiving every bad thing, and all of us have had bad things happen, but if you have not forgiven every bad thing that has happened, then you are in danger. You're in danger. Let me say it again. You're in danger. Because what does the scripture say? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their trespasses against us. So when people come against you, you cannot be forgiven unless you forgive them. You got to forgive, because that is stifling your ministry. No wonder people can't get free from this, that, and the other. No wonder people can't do this and do that in God and keep walking in God and keep walking in God. And even if they slip, they can't jump right back up and keep on walking. No wonder they got to go out for months and for years and lose fellowship with God and have to start all over, scratching their head. How did I get here? Because of unforgiveness. You need to forgive them. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Let's keep going. So in 18 it says, now when Jesus saw the great multitude, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a centurion scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, you're saying you're going to follow me. So are you expecting me to take care of you when I don't have earthly things to do that? I don't have a house. Foxes have holes. I don't have no place to lay my head. Are you sure you want to follow me? This is what he's asking. I don't have big mansions. I don't have comfortable places. Are you sure you want to follow me? Because following me is going to cost you something. I'm not trying to tell you to be a part of the Fortune 500 club. I'm not trying to tell you to get deep riches. I'm not trying to tell everything that the world is searching for. I'm not searching for that. I'm trying to give you riches in heaven. See? So I don't have the things. I'm not entangled by the things of this world that keep me attached and strapped to this world. That's what he's saying. Now, am I saying don't buy a house? I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you any of that. It's a blessing that we have houses. It's a blessing that people... I'm not telling you any of that. But you got to figure out where he's coming from. If he does not have a house, his house is in heaven, then he don't care nothing about your house. If you care about the house because he loves you, then he cares about the house. But just the house, no, he don't care nothing about no house. He cares about you. So he cares about what you love. What do you love? He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. What do you love? Does it line up to his word? So you got to count the cost in following him. A lot of people come to him and they don't count the cost. See? You may have to lose that house that is giving you so much pride so you can step away from pride.
Amen.
You may have to lose a whole lot of things. That car that you drive, that when people see that car coming, they say, oh, yeah, that's brother so-and-so. You may have to lose that in order to show your humility to others in God. See, what have you put before God? Because Jesus has nothing of earthly possessions or any type of material thing that stands in the way of his fellowship with you. Amen. So what are you putting before your fellowship with him? Is it drugs? Is it a woman? Is it a man for the women? Is it your children? Is it your house? Is it your money? What are you putting before him? He has nothing that he puts before you. He gave everything. He sacrificed everything. We just learned in Isaiah how he was bruised for our iniquities. See? What are you putting before him? And so, let me move to the next one, 21. And another of his disciples, not the same scribe that said this, but another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. So he's saying, they understood. He's saying, I'll follow you. This is what the scribe is saying. The disciple, the one that's been under him, the one that should know him, is saying, Father, Master, suffer me to go bury my dad. No. You're in the midst of this now. Look at what he said. But Jesus answered, said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Now, was he being insensitive and telling you you can't bury your people? No. But we're talking about some very serious stuff here, and your concern is about your dad that died? He's already dead.
Yep.
Amen. I'm telling you to follow me. I'm telling you to get with me. I'm telling you to understand what's going on. See? You got a centurion who's not even of me. He said he'll follow me wherever he goes.
That's right.
See? No. So in 23 he says, and when he entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? But look at what he said way over here in 18 of that 8:18. Now when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave the commandment. He gave a commandment to depart onto the other side. In other words, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings said, we're going to the other side. The one who created everything said, we're going to the other side. The one that has the power of heaven in his hands, the power of hell is what he's going to take. He's saying, we're going to the other side. See? And so that's why he asked the question, why are you so fearful? But let's see the real story of that. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Mark is the book right after. Mark chapter 4. Verse 39, excuse me.
Hey, stop. That's enough. Okay. Thank
you. Well, let's go up before that. Listen. 35. Let's start at 35. I'll write 35. And when the same day, and the same day, when the evil was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Now this is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, commanding this. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there arose a and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I just told you we're going to the other side. You don't believe me. I told you that I could save your soul for eternity. You don't believe me. I told you that if you put your trust in me, I told you that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I told you that I will make my abode with you. I told you that there will be great peace in your life. He said, I told you to love one another. I told you that I'm leaving peace here for you, not as the world knows peace. He's told us so many things, and we don't believe him because of fear. It's hard to believe the unknown. But if you do not believe the unknown, you do not have faith. You cannot operate in faith knowing what's going to happen. You can only operate in faith believing something that you do not see. See? So the beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat. It says, and I always say this when I'm doing this, it says, and he was in 38, it says that he was in the hinder part of the boat asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, where's your belief system? Is Jesus in the back part of your life? The hinder part of your life? Or is he at the front, the helm of your life? Is he directing you? Is he leading you? Because he will stand up and rebuke the wind and say, peace, be still. And there will be a great calm. But you got to wake him up from out of the back. You got to pull him out the hinder part and get him at the front of our lives. Put him in number one, numero uno, first. And he will rebuke. Amen. And he will say, peace be still, and there will be a great calm. A great calm. Let Jesus work this for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. Lord, we love you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we worship you from our heart, Lord God. Give us the right tools to minister, Lord God. Let us recognize ministry, the opportunity to minister whenever it comes, and give us the strength to do so. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would just send down your angels that have charge over us, Lord God, and give them the wherewithal to clear the land so that peace will be able to happen in our lives, Lord God. There's not a guarantee of peace all the time, because our faith has got to be tested with adversity. But for right now, we cry peace, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, all those that agree said amen.
Amen.
I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I accept Jesus now as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask Jesus the Christ to come in my heart and live. I choose light. I choose life in Christ. I choose truth. I choose the narrow way. I believe Jesus died for my sin. And according to the scriptures, that you raised him from the dead for my benefit. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. People, get ready 'cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the children. People, get ready 'cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all the
will never prevail. The down scale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun. But in the end, you'll be judged by the Lord. Cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking on some truth into your souls I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger. And get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger.
Change your evil ways. He coming, prepare. We live in the last days.